many, and literally thousands have never come out of the upper room. They're still in the upper room. They have never come from out the upper room. They're still following the upper room. They're still living in the upper room. As the 120 prayed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Oh, it was glorious. It was wonderful. They were filled with the Spirit. The Holy Ghost came upon them, but beloved, as surely as Peter and James and John would let down the side of the cliff to the mast, so surely would the 120 led from out of the upper room, where they found the thousands waiting for the message of everlasting life. You'll be filled with the Spirit. You'll be in that upper room. You'll receive that glorious gift that Jesus left to his church. What are you doing with that experience? Let me ask him. Let me ask him. My responsibility is no greater than yours. My friend, my responsibility is no greater than yours. The Holy Spirit is given for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is for power for service. Know that. Know that, my friend. You search your scripture. You search the word. The Holy remember, some of you feel that just because you've been in the upper room, and just because you've been filled with the Spirit, you have received all that God has for you. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. Know that. There's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. I never walk off of a platform on a stage after seeing the manifestation of God's power. Oh, Stuart, on the other side, if you were there, you might have felt how rewarding, how thrilling, how gratified. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know? Do you know? Do you really know? I only knew how to yield more completely to the Spirit if only I knew. I look up and I say, dear, wonderful Jesus, if only I had known better how to cooperate with the Spirit. Do you understand what goes on in a service? If you were in the service Sunday, and it's not like it that's the way it is, whatever it is. Understand something. I have no healing virtue. Don't anyone tell you that Catherine Kuhlman has any healing virtue. I have no healing virtue. I have no healing power. None. I'm only a sinner saved by the grace of God like any other Christian. You've heard me say it not once but over and over again. I profess to have no gifts. I believe in the gift of the Spirit. Oh, how I believe in the gift of the Spirit. I believe not only the nine gifts of the Spirit, I believe that there are many, many, many more than the nine gifts of the Spirit. I believe that the nine that were mentioned are just the sum of the gifts as an example. There are more. Don't limit him to nine. But you've never heard Catherine Kuhlman ever say that she possessed any of the gifts of the Spirit. You want to know why? It's because I believe that when one has received one or any of the gifts of the Spirit, it'll be something that'll be so precious, it'll be something that'll be so holy. It's something that's so sacred. You won't talk about it. But you must boast of it. Because it's still the Holy Spirit. It is still the Holy Spirit. And he'll not share the glory. And he'll not share the praise with anyone else. Reason he gives the gifts to those that he feels he can trust. It's a trust. And with that trust, there goes a responsibility that makes it tremble, believe me. And you don't go around saying, I have the gift of going forward. And I have this gift. And I have that gift. You don't do it. The responsibility that comes with it is too great. wearing a uniform. It's more than watching a parade. It's more than being heard and seen. And sometimes it costs your life, and you won't amount to a thing for God unless it does cost your life. Do you know what I'm saying? Members of the clergy, do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like to walk out? And you know that out there, there are people who are waiting, are hungry, to lost hope. It may be somebody's lost message, somebody's soul at stake. There's a wife out there who has prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally she's gotten her husband in the place. There's a mother and dad has their daughter out there. You know what it's like? Do you really know what it's like when there's somebody out there dying of cancer and it's their last hope? And you walk out there and you know that in yourself you have nothing, absolutely nothing. If your arms were severed from your body, if you were to give your body to be burned and steared in your own strength, you could not give them that for which they've come. And you're completely dependent on one, the Holy Spirit. That unseen person. That unseen person. But he's as real to you, so help me. He's as real to you as anyone sitting out there. He's as real to you. A person. And you become so sensitive to him. You become so sensitive. Him. You follow him. You don't lead. You don't lead. You don't lead. You follow. Too many of us are trying to use the Holy Spirit. My brethren, too many of us are trying to use the Holy Spirit. We're trying to use the power of the Holy Spirit. No. But you see, you can't be sensitive to him as long as there's any of self or any of you there. You've got to be dead because there cannot be two wills. There must be only one. There cannot be two personalities. There must be only one.
his personality, his power, his will. And there can only be one will.
When the second person has died, and you follow, your same is going out of you now, and I know that I would have an open forum right now, and somebody would be asking questions, saying, "Miss Kumana, how do you know?" And there's nothing that irritates me more than to say she's psychic, or this. There is a place. Where you yield him your, not only your body, not only your body, but you yield him your mind. You yield him everything. And he feels what you yield unto him. And it is a place where you die so completely. And you surrender so completely to him. Sometimes I can go 15 minutes and not remember one single thing that was said. Oh, beloved, if you think speaking in an unknown tongue is marvelous, and if you're just satisfied with speaking in an unknown tongue, I want you to know there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, my brethren, there's more. There is a place of surrender to him. I pray that God's truth will help me. Where you take your mind and you take your tongue. And you become so detached from the whole thing as though you're part of that congregation. And your ears are hearing and you're learning. And you're being thrilled at what you're hearing, but it is not your voice. It is not your mind. It is not your tongue. Speaking in an unknown tongue is marvelous. But beloved, is it for the edification of the church? There is a place where you take your tongue and you use that tongue for the edification of the church. He'll take that tongue and you'll speak with that tongue in a language that can be heard. A tongue that will bring the lost the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll take your mind. Do you know what it's like for him to take your mind? Did I stand there only as a vessel, just as a and he uses the mind, and I hear myself saying, and it isn't Captain Kuhn, and nobody knows any better than I do. How do you know? I don't know of myself. It's the Holy Spirit who is speaking. How do you know? I do not know of myself. It's the Holy Spirit who is speaking. How do I know? The one who has perfect wisdom, the one who has perfect knowledge, he is the one who knows. How does one know the woman over there in such and such a dress is being healed? I do not know. If my life depended on it, I could not tell you. I do not know. But the one who is perfect wisdom knows. And he is doing the speaking. He is the one who's doing the speaking. And if only I knew better how to yield to him. I was a little girl. Three years old. You know how I love Papa. It was so cold, a cold winter evening. The snow was deep. I remember it was yesterday. And the first thing I always did when Papa came home was to run and grab him. He came home this cold winter evening. Mama was going to have biscuits for dinner. We had a Malibu range. Now you know how old I am. And Mama always kept it shining. When we traded in for electric stove, it was still just as beautiful and shiny as when we bought it. And the top of the stove was red hot because Mama said to bake good biscuits, you had to have a hot fire. The biscuits were in the oven, the top of the range was red because she had to have that much heat for the biscuits. Papa had walked in. I can see walking that kitchen door now. The snow was still on his shoes. When he came through the kitchen door, it was so cold, he walked directly to the stove to warm his hands. He didn't wait for me to put my arms around him because he was so cold. And while he was standing there with his hand over the kitchen stove, quickly I got a chair, just as quickly as I could. I got a chair and I pushed it up to the stove by his side. And I reached up on tiptoe to put my arms around him and kissed him. And when I did, the chair slipped. And I fell on the red hot stove. And they grabbed me. The flesh stayed on the stove. I'll tell you something else when you talk about my hands. You don't know how sensitive all my life I've been. It's because these hands are scarred. Somebody give me a handkerchief. These hands are not beautiful hands. They're not. When I was a little more than 3 years of age, I left the skin that was on these hands on the red hot stove at Malibu Range in Carter. But Mama took what was said, and she put them in the crock of lard. the nut beautiful hen. These are not pretty hens. They're scarred hens. Beloved, he can take his old scarred hands. He can take an old scarred life. If he can take a sinner, save that one by his grace. You see, times when people grab my hand, and you see me flinch sometimes. These are not strong hands. But they're yielded hands. There's no beauty. You only see the beauty of them when you see Christ in those hands. You only see the beauty of these scarred hands when you see Christ. No flesh should glory in his presence. I wouldn't tell you that it wasn't a lonely life. It is. It's a lonely life. It's a separated life. It isn't easy. There's a price to be paid. By God's grace and power, I've made up my mind. I'm going to pay the price. If I have to walk it alone. I'm going to pay the price. And there isn't a person in this auditorium, this hour, who's more hungry for more of the Spirit than I am. And if he can take this life of mine that's nothing, I mean nothing. I need nothing. My God! In the natural, sitting here, all of you have a thousand times more than I have in the natural. I never had a touch to be on. I have nothing to be sought out with, nothing. I know from what I come. He'll do for me every thing that he's done for me and more, if you only will do it. Thing is that it's a personal thing. I can't make a decision for you. It's something I had to learn. If I could make the decision for you, brethren, here today. If I could make a decision for you, I would do it. If I could pay the price for it, I would. I have a young nephew that I give in the world right now, a young 19-year-old nephew. If I could make a decision for him, if I could pay the price for him, if I could make this consecration for him, I would do it. I would do it. But I can't. There's something about it all. It's personal. It isn't just for a day. Anyone can live a victorious life and life of power in an atmosphere like this. But when the clinic is over with, and you're not in this atmosphere, and he takes you down the side of the cliff, and you come from out of the upper room, and you find the multitude out there waiting, and he takes you and picks you the meat for his use. What about it? Beloved, beloved, it isn't the glory. What about the loneliness of it all? What about the separated life? I'm afraid so many of us have been caught in this modern atmosphere, where we want to go with the crowd and become a part of the crowd. And we've left him. We've left him, my friend, to the very end. It's going to be a separated life. It's going to be a separated life. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life unto the death. And they loved not their life unto the death. He's winding things up, and he's winding things up in a hurry. And not all
stay in the separated walk. In this moment, my breath, and let me ask you. I'm in this with you. You and I are members of his body. We're flesh, chicken, and spirit. Know that. We're members of his body, my brethren. We're members of the same family, his family. He's depending on us. Let me ask you, the whole world today, in this nation, the United States of America, let me ask you, is he depending on anyone more than he's depending on the brethren in this state this morning? In the whole world, let me ask, you are the brethren who've been filled with the Spirit. You are the brethren who caught this vision. You are the brethren of whom he has poured out the Spirit. You are the brethren who are the leaders. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I want the next 10 minutes to be the most sacred we've ever had in this place of worship. I want to lay hands on every brethren on this platform who's saying this good. I love you. And pay that price, and I'm willing to be nothing to be made meet for my sins. I'm going to begin with these brethren first. Then, beloved, I want you to sit there. I want you to sit there. And talk it over with him. If you're willing to pay that price, I want you to have it settled in this place.
For further information regarding Melodyland Tapes, see your local dealer or write Melodyland Tapes. Post Office Box 6000, Anaheim, California, 92806.
That concludes this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. For information about thousands of helpful messages such as this one, available for lending on a free or voluntary donation basis, write to us at the Springs of Living Water Tape Library, Post Office Box 32636, Spring Lake Park, Minnesota. 55432. Your prayerful and financial support of this ministry is also welcome and greatly appreciated.